Hello and welcome to the IRPP's Interview with the Author series. My guest today is Nan Weiner. Dr. Weiner has been working on workplace equity for more than two decades. She has nearly 40 years of experience in human resources and public sector organizations, teaching at the university level, and consulting. Dr. Weiner has written three books, Employment Equity, Making It Work, Making Cultural Diversity Work, and Pay Equity, Issues, Options, and Experiences. She is also the author of the IRPP Choices Study, Breaking Down Barriers to Labor Market Integration of Newcomers in Toronto. Welcome, Dr. Weiner.
Thank you.
What are the problems or barriers, as you put it, that immigrants currently face in Toronto?
I think we can group these under four headings. The first one is credential recognition. And this can be recognition of formal credentials, say, for people who are in the health profession, such as nurses and physicians, engineers, and so on. In addition, it can be for tradespeople, recognition of their skills and abilities. And for those who are the majority of immigrants and those in our labor force who work in non-regulatory fields, there's a lack of recognition of the education they bring from their host country and of the experience they have and how that can be used in Canada. So one is the need to recognize the human capital that immigrants bring. Second are the language and communication issues, obviously spoken English here in Toronto. But while there's been quite a bit of work done on helping new immigrants learn conversational English, what's needed in the workplace, particularly with more skilled immigrants, is professional language ability, so they know the jargon within their field, and often this includes written in addition to spoken English. But that really is just the tip of the iceberg, and really what new immigrants need are communication skills, and all cultures have different norms and practices about appropriate ways to communicate. And one of the issues then is that people coming from different countries won't know the Canadian ways of good communication, and they'll be communicating with people who don't fully comprehend their norms of communication, and that can lead to some real misunderstandings. A third barrier is a little more difficult to define because a lot of immigrants run into a requirement for Canadian experience, and it's not 100% clear what this really means. Does it mean that they really need to know Canadian laws or particular ways things are done in Canada, or is it really a code for more nebulous things like knowing Canadian workplace norms and so on, or is it really just a mask for discrimination? And that is the fourth barrier that new immigrants face, is discrimination. As you know, a greater number of our newer, more recent immigrants are coming from countries so that people are people of color, and so they can face discrimination as immigrants, as visible minorities, and obviously women can face additional discrimination on gender.
You've identified these barriers. Did you come across any programs or services that are working?
There certainly are programs and services out there. It's harder for me to say if they're working or not, partly because of the kind of research I did, partly because there hasn't been enough program evaluation in this area. Obviously, there's an understanding that immigrants need information. So there's been work done to get information up and running and on the Internet for new immigrants. I must tell you that I've looked at that, and I find it almost incomprehensible to me. And so I have real questions about, say, how good that information is for someone trying to assess the Toronto labor market and the need, their particular skills. So things are being done, but are they really working? Some of the things that I think are working are the partnerships that are formed between the federal government, the provincial government, and most recently the City of Toronto, so that you've got all those levels of government at the table talking about each of their particular needs. Another new thing that's just starting but too soon to tell if it's working, Ontario's passed legislation called the Fair Access to Regulated Professions Act, which requires the 30-some, almost 40 regulatory bodies in Ontario to deal with the issue of how to assess internationally trained people in their various fields so that they can be assessed in a fair, transparent manner, in a timely manner. They can get feedback on why if they are rejected and have an appeal process and so on. And there will be a commissioner, a fairness commissioner, to oversee that. So that's just getting started, so it's too soon to tell if the legislation is having its desired effect. There certainly are programs run by community agencies, some of which seem that have some statistics. Some of the mentoring and internship programs indicate that 75 to 85% of the people who go through those programs get jobs, maybe not as many as we'd like in their actual fields. So there are programs out there, but there hasn't been enough program evaluation to assess if they're having the impact that that we'd like.
And that was one of the main recommendations in your study, to increase a kind of program evaluation. Is that right?
That's right, yes. And one of the things about program evaluation is we're talking about a diverse set of people, so a program could work really well, let's say, maybe for people who are coming from China, but not work well for people who are coming from Latin America. Or it might work well for immigrants who are highly educated, but not for those who have trades training. Or it might work well for men, but not for women. Or, you know, there could be some other variables, age, for example. So program evaluation can't just be, is this program working? The question has to be, for whom is this program working or not working? Because the group of immigrants are so diverse and could have very different needs that, you know, with a little tweaking, a program could become highly effective for various groups, but without that tweaking, it may fall short for a number of them.
How does Toronto rate compared to other cities in Canada, do you think?
Yeah. Toronto is obviously very special when it comes to immigrants because most immigrants come here, the highest number of immigrants, highest proportion. They also seem to stay in Toronto if you look at studies that have looked over a period of time. Now, I didn't specifically look at that question in my study, but I obviously came across literature that had. And so there are some indications that Toronto can be a good place for immigrants. Jobs are here. There's some indication that newcomers get, a high proportion of newcomers do get work in Toronto within 6 months of arriving. Unfortunately, the figure is that only about 40% of them are working in the field that they trained for. And that's really problematic when you're talking about really highly skilled people who have a lot of human capital, put in a lot of effort into obtaining their credentials, have a lot to offer, but it isn't being used. There was an interesting study done for IRPP by Graham and Phillips, and they looked at the city of Toronto and made some comparisons with some of the other cities, and they found that the city of Toronto, now speaking about the municipality, is really believes in diversity and really has the right attitudes and commitments to it. So that's a great base to work from. Canadians and Torontonians are positive about immigration, and again, that's a good thing to be there. But that integration isn't happening as well as it should be. Now, Toronto does have a great resource in TRIAC, which is an organization that works specifically in the Toronto region on employment issues. And they're very solution-focused, very much focused on local solutions that work, bring employers in and bring immigrant groups in and so on, government. So that they are a real important resource in the city.
What kind of long-term implications do you think these barriers will have for Canada and for our workforce?
Yeah, I think they could have some serious ones. Canada is in competition for skilled immigrants. We talk about the global economy, and part of that means that people with skills can go any number of places. Immigrants, I think, have a different attitude. There was a time immigrants came to a country like Canada and said, okay, I'm going to do whatever I have to do, and things will be better for my children. The skilled immigrants who are available today and that we need in Canada don't want to make that kind of sacrifice. They have too much to offer, too much to give, too much invested already in their human capital, so they want to use that. And if Canada won't use it, then they may look either not to come here or to actually leave here. And one study I came across found that of immigrants most likely to leave Canada, it's the highly skilled newcomers and entrepreneurs who are the more likely ones to leave. And obviously that's not the group that we want.
That's the group that we're trying to attract, isn't
right.
it?
And our labor force is not growing. We Canadians are not having enough children to replace ourselves. So immigration is the way that our labor force is going to grow. And if we're going to have economic growth, it's either going to come through an increasing labor force, increasing productivity, or both. So we need both the bodies that immigrants have to provide, but their knowledge and their very diversity, if you will, is a wonderful input to the creative process. So without immigrants to help us see things new ways, I don't think we'll be as creative and productive.
So it's valuable for Canada to maintain this reputation as a desirable destination for immigrants.
It's essential because let's say people come here and they, one of the statistics I came across was that 30% of skilled recent immigrants live in poverty. Well, those people may choose to leave, but even if they stay, they're going to be talking to friends and family back in the country that they came from. And people are going to say, well, hold it, that happened to, to my cousin's friend, or that happened to my sister. People are then going to say, well, I'm going to look somewhere else. There's got to be a better place in the world for me. I'm not going to go to Canada. And that kind of reputation if we can't keep our reputation as being a good place for immigrants, it's going to take us a lot longer to overcome a bad reputation.
You mentioned the partnerships that are being formed between all three levels of government as one way of helping integrate newcomers.
Mm-hmm.
What are the next steps you'd like to see all three levels of government take now?
Yeah. One is to continue the partnerships and to keep talking, because they each have different responsibilities in this process, and each of those perspectives is vital and important. One of the things I guess I'd say to the federal government is they're doing a lot on websites, and they are the first contact a lot of times with people overseas. It's some very practical things. I've traveled overseas and spent time in some developing countries, which is where we're getting most of our immigrants from, and the computers don't work well. They crash. They can't handle pictures. They're very slow. So one thing would be to say our websites and our ways of getting out information really meeting the needs of the people who are considering immigrating to Canada and providing them with that information, or are we just too fancy, too highfalutin, and just more frustrating? And I wonder sometimes about the language in the websites, if they're really at an appropriate level for people for whom English is a second language. There's some things about managing the expectations of immigrants so that they have a better sense of what's going to happen when they come here and some of the hurdles they are going to have to overcome. I think one of the common misunderstandings is immigrants say, okay, Canada asked me for information about my education and my experience, and I gave it, and they said I could come, so therefore I can, get settled and start work next week. And they don't understand about the credentialing process. Now, the information's on the website, so we're trying to get the message out, but I'm wondering if we're doing it in a way that's understood by potential immigrants, because our provincial, federal division of labor isn't something that's universal around the world. So it, I think, has to be communicated better. The province, I think, has, as I mentioned, the Fair Access to Regulated Professions Act. They need to make sure that's working. They need to also look at some of the issues for tradespeople. It's really a shame you take someone who's a skilled tradesperson, and then they come to Canada and you say you have to serve an apprenticeship again, and here they are working alongside a very young person, a very inexperienced person, and that's not the best for someone's sense of self and doesn't, again, utilize the knowledge they have. So are we looking at what the trades needs? Are we looking at the needs for the non-regulated professions and jobs? And the City of Toronto is at the table, but it's important that they not be the only municipality. Immigrants are coming to the City of Toronto, but Metro Toronto, they're also going further afield to the 905 area, so we need more people at the table.
Dr. Weiner, thank you very much for your time today.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thank you.